They all say I'm crazy, but I'm not. At least, I don't think I am.
The Columbia Workshop presents Now Playing Tomorrow, an original radio play by Arthur Lawrence. Mr. Lawrence, a newcomer to radio, is a student in the class of radio writing in the Division of General Education at New York University, conducted by William N. Robeson, who is directing tonight's broadcast. The Columbia Workshop presents Now Playing Tomorrow.
I know everything that's going to happen to me as sure as I know my name. It's William Wumpel. Honest. I haven't built any houses yet, but I'm an architect. A good one, too. A darn good one. And I'm going to be a success. I'm going to win first prize in the Cleveland Architectural Exposition. Honest I am. I know it. I know my whole future. I have known it ever since I had a dream when the angel came. I could tell he was an angel, of course, by his wings and his bare feet. Well, anyway, this angel said I could have what I wanted most in the world. Well, I wanted to know my future, so I asked for that. And when I woke up, I did know my future. That's how I know I'm going to win that Cleveland Prize.
You're nuts!
Abigail Wumpel, that's a fine way to talk to your only child.
Well, now, Mother, you mustn't get upset. You can't blame Dad. After all, he didn't hear the angel.
Well, you know how I feel about those men who fly around.
Don't listen to him, William.
Oh, I'll answer it. I know it,
Polly.
What? Oh, what?
Herbert, I know Willie is going to win that prize.
I suppose a little angel told you so.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Polly.
Well, how are the proud parents of the prize winner?
Now, Polly, that's hitting below the belt.
Well, Polly, you believe I'm going to win, don't you?
Of course you are, darling.
And you don't think I'm crazy, do you?
She's crazy if she marries you.
Willie, darling, I...
Well, you do think I'm crazy?
No, darling. Not permanently.
Ah, oh, poor Polly. I know how you must feel, darling, and I'm sorry. I guess if I were in your position, I'd think I was crazy, too.
Really? There's nothing radically wrong with you. It's just that, well, worry over getting a job has made you a little unsteady.
Unsteady? He's a screwball if I ever saw one.
Herbert, your own son.
I know he's my own son. Why do you think I haven't let him out of the house for the past 2 weeks? I'm afraid the neighbors might find out.
Well, you'll have to let him out tonight. We're going downtown to buy him a winter coat.
I won't need one, Polly.
Now, Willie, you're going to lose your reputation if you start predicting the weather.
But, Polly, I won't need a coat.
Really? Don't be obstinate.
He isn't obstinate. He doesn't know summer is coming in 6 months.
Well, if you must know, I won't need a coat because I'll be in California.
Huh? You, why?
No, I'm sorry, Dad, but I will. I can't help it. I just know.
You can't help it. You
no.
just know.
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what I'm going to have for lunch tomorrow.
Well, Dad, I told you I only know what's going to happen to me.
What are you having for lunch tomorrow?
Well, tomato juice, split pea soup, pork chops with mashed potatoes.
Oh, save the dessert till I answer the door.
All right, dear. It's a telegram.
Yep.
Are you sure about the pork chops, Willie?
Now, don't quibble, Emily. Pork chops, he says, and pork chops you'll buy.
Oh, it's a telegram for you, Willie.
Uh-huh. Well, you can read it. I know what it says.
All right, young man. We'll end this nonsense once and for all. Suppose you tell us what the telegram says before we open it.
Well, I've been expecting it, Dad. It's from the Cleveland Exposition, and it says I won first prize.
Oh, congratulations, darling.
Thank you.
Would anyone object if I read it?
I should say not. We'll put an end to this foolishness. Read it, Polly.
It says, for Pete's sake, it says, we are happy to inform you that
you
have been
awarded
first
prize
in the Cleveland
Architectural
Exposition. Well, Herbert, you don't suppose we're crazy, do you?
Speech, William, darling. We want to speak.
What? Oh. Oh, my goodness.
Willie. Oh, get a glass of water. He's fainted.
Oh, gracious. Get some water, Herbert.
You'll have to excuse me.
Where are you going?
To bed.
To bed. At this hour? Oh, Herbert, are you crazy?
Not yet, but I've got a date with an angel.
I know, William, but you ought to put the prize money into the bank.
Well, I won't need it, Mom. I'm getting a job.
You wouldn't know just when, would you?
Leave him alone, Polly, and eat your pork chops.
But, William, they're offering you $35 a week.
Well, I'm not going to work in New York.
Why not?
Well, because I'm getting a better offer from California.
I thought we'd go up to the mountains for the holidays.
I'm sorry. You'll have to count me out, Mother.
But why, Willie?
Because he'll be in California.
Thanks, though.
No. No, no, no.
But I know you're going to marry me.
No.
But Polly, be sane, darling. Now, you love me, don't you?
Yes.
And you know I love you.
Yes.
And you know I'm not crazy.
Yes. No. Oh, I don't know.
But I said I'd win the prize, and I did.
Oh, Willie, darling, just because you won that fool prize, you think you know everything.
No, I don't, sweet. I just know what's going to happen to me.
All right, to you, then. But don't you see, Willie,
what?
Oh, nothing. Forget it.
Then will you marry me?
No.
But, Polly,
look, Willie, love has a very fine hand for a wedding ring, but a very poor one for writing checks.
So?
So, you've got your prize money. Period.
Oh, darling, you don't think I'm asking you to marry me on that, do you? Why, I'm going to be a very successful architect in a few years. I'm getting a big offer any day now from a firm in California.
Don't say that word.
Well, that's where I'm going, Polly, and you're going with me as my wife, I know.
Willie, are you asking me or are you telling me?
I'm telling you, but I'm asking you to be polite.
Willie, you are impossible. But I will marry you.
Oh, Polly.
If and when that offer comes from the coast.
Promise?
Why not? What have I got to lose?
You, Willie, promise to take this woman to be your lovely wedded wife.
But, Polly.
Willie, please.
But, darling, do you?
No, I don't think you're crazy. Now be quiet.
Thanks, but I've got to tell you something.
Can't it wait?
No, we're going to have...
Willie.
Oh, no, no, dear. We're going to have a divorce.
What? Do you mean? Do you?
I do. I do. Yes.
And do you, Polly, promise to take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband?
Don't shush me.
Now, darling.
Well, what made you say that?
I just saw it, Polly.
So what?
That you're going to divorce
me. Well, that's nice news for a bride. You wouldn't know just when, would you?
Well, now, I
think... Well, just stop thinking, because we're getting that divorce right now.
But, Polly...
In fact, we're not getting married.
You can't say that.
Oh, yes, I can.
But you aren't serious.
I certainly am.
Well, you can't want to call it off.
Till death do
part. I most certainly do.
But I know that we're going to be married.
Well, you've got another guest coming.
I'm not guessing. I know it.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
See?
William Wumple, the trouble with you is you know too much.
Beaton, Button, Minkelhoff, and Gerb. Good morning. Mr. Wumple, I'll connect you. Beaton, Button, Minkelhoff, and Wumple. Good morning. Mr. Wumple, just a moment.
Beaton, Wumple, and Button. Good morning. Mr. Wumple, he's busy.
Beaton and Wumple. Good morning. Mr. Wumple, he's in conference.
Wumple Incorporated. Good morning. Mr. Wumple, I'll give you a secretary.
Mr. Wumple's in conference.
Mr. Wumple's busy.
Mr. Wumple is not in today.
Call
Sorry.
Later.
Have you an appointment?
Mr. Wumple is out.
Mr. Wumple's residence. Good evening. Well, who's calling, please? Just a moment, if you'll hold the wire. For you, madame.
Oh, thank you, Hyde.
You're welcome.
Hello? Oh, hello, Greta, darling. What? You're starting a new picture tonight. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's too bad. Well, we'll make it another time, then. Oh, fine. Yes, we'd love to. Bye.
Greta's not coming.
No.
Good thing you asked Joan.
All right, I know. You told me she wouldn't come. You told me to arrange for someone else. You told me everything.
But, Polly, darling, we'll see Greta at her house. She invited us for dinner, didn't she? Didn't she, Polly?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm certain.
Well, of course, it is funny. I only see myself at her dinner, but I'm sure that she'll invite you.
Oh, don't worry, she did.
Well, you just...
Never mind what I said. She did invite me, but I'm not going. I'm not going to be here.
But, honey...
You were right. You're always right. You know everything. You know what dress I'm going to buy next week and what your secretary is going to say at 11:26 and a half tomorrow morning. You know who's going to need a new building and how much you'll be paid for building it. You know the amount of your income tax before you've made the money you pay on it. You know what you're going to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. You even know when it's not going to rain in California.
It's not going to rain Tuesday.
Oh, isn't it?
No.
Well, that's lovely. That's just fine and dandy. It's so fine, I'm going to tell you something even you don't know.
What?
I'm through. I'm fed up right up to here. I don't like having my life driven for me by a chauffeur. I want to take a turn at the wheel myself. I want to worry whether I need oil or gas or whether I'm going to get a flat tire.
But, Polly, I don't know your life.
But you know yours too darn well, and as long as I'm married to you, that means knowing mine. Well, I can't stand it anymore. I don't know how you do.
Well, I like to know, Polly.
You're impossible.
Oh, darling.
Don't darling me and get away.
Now, Polly.
I mean it, Willie. I can't go on anymore. You've got to stop this Oracle act.
It's too late, Polly.
It's not too late. You just won't try. Well, Willie, I'm different. When Greta accepts my invitation to a party, I don't want to know she won't be able to come because her new picture's starting. I don't want to be able to get a substitute in advance. I want to get into a dither at the last minute and curse the movie business until I do get someone else. And that's the way it's got to be, Willie. Either you're going to shut your eyes and ears and tell your angel to go to heaven or...
Or what?
Or I'm getting a divorce.
No. No, not so soon.
What do you mean, not so soon?
Well, now, darling, be calm and just remember that I do love you, but...
But what?
Wait. Go back to the day we were married.
Yes?
Yes. I told you then that you'd divorce me.
Well?
Well, darling, I do love you, but there's nothing that I can do about it. You just are going to divorce me.
There's nothing you can do about it?
No.
But, Willie, don't you see? Here's your one chance to stop knowing, to stop seeing everything in advance. Willie, here's the one thing, the one little thing that can break the spell.
But, darling, you're going to divorce me anyway.
You're sure?
I know.
Well, Willie, I've got to hand it to you. You're a wonderful, wonderful person. You're marvelous, glorious, terrific. You're the eighth wonder of the world.
Oh.
And you're stark, staring mad. You must be if you can sit there and tell me you love me and still let me divorce you because some flying fool in bare feet said so. Well, you're right, William, dear. You're so right it isn't funny. I am going to get a divorce, and I hope I never see you again because it's going to be swell to be normal.
But, Polly, wait. Polly!
Good evening, Mr. Womper. A table for two?
For one.
Yes. Right this way.
Thank you.
We have a new singer you simply must hear. She's wonderful, marvelous, a voice that thrills you, a figure that... by the way, Mr. Womple, I was wondering that this... could you tell me, in the fourth race of Santa Anita...
Keep quiet. Your sensational singer is going on.
Mr. Wumple, you haven't been in the cafe au lait in ages.
Oh, good evening.
Oh, Mr. Wumple, I was wondering if you, do you think you could in the fourth?
I'm trying to listen to the singer.
Oh, she's lousy. But wait till you see my little number. Oh, it's a knockout. You see, I come up in a few feathers and a spangle and woo! Well, I know you'll love it.
I know I won't.
Oh, you expecting your wife?
She's in Reno.
Reno? Oh, dearie, why didn't you say so before? Let's go someplace where you can cry on my shoulder, if you know what I mean.
I do, and I'm sorry. Good night.
Come on, Sadie Q. Come on, Sadie. Bring home the bacon to Daddy. Oh, you Sadie Q. Ride him, baby. Ride him. Come on, Sadie. Come on home. Come on, Sadie. What a horse.
Wumple,
you certainly picked the honey that time. Hey, Wumple. Wumple, now can you tie that? The darn fool tore up his ticket.
What's that?
Oh, I beg your pardon, sir. The door blew shut. I didn't mean to waken you.
Oh, that's all right, Hives. I wasn't able to sleep anyway.
Oh, I'm so sorry, sir.
As a matter of fact, I haven't slept in weeks.
Have you tried reading some light fiction before bedtime, sir? I can highly recommend The Case of the Bleeding Claw.
The grandmother did it.
Oh, really? Well, how about Daughter-in-Law of Frankenstein?
Dracula did it.
Fancy that now. Death in the Telephone Booth?
Ventilation did it.
Well, have you read them all, sir?
No, I haven't, but I will.
Well, then perhaps I mean...
Perhaps nothing. Tell me, Hives, have you ever read The Murder of William Wumple? No, of course you haven't. But you might. And if they ask you who did it, Tell them an angel.
Now, Mr. Wumple, you shouldn't be like...
tell me what to do. You told me to read, didn't you? Well, there's nothing for me to read. Not one single solitary book. I know how they begin and how they end and what comes in between. I know them backwards and forwards and inside out before a start, and I can't stand it. I can't. It's driving me crazy. I don't know what to do anymore.
You must relax, Mr. Wumple.
Oh,
relax. Now, please don't get yourself so excited.
You don't understand.
But I do, Mr. Wumple, I do. Now, just take it easy. Be calm. Lie down and rest. There, now, quiet. You'll be all right. I have just the book to quiet your nerves.
Yes,
indeed.
But I...
the very book, yes, indeed. Now, just be still. Now, then, let's see. Ah, yes, here we are, page 1. A is for apples, so red and so sweet. B for bananas that we love to eat. C is for carrots, so long.
Hello? Oh, Daisy. What? Oh, gee, thanks a lot. Guess I forgot. Mr. Wumple, it's almost 4. The press is waiting at the door.
Send them away. Send them away.
But you said you'd let them know today.
Even though I wish they'd go, I'll see them just the same. I know.
You know too much.
I don't. You're wrong. I know I'm right.
I beg your pardon. I don't quite...
Oh, forget it, please. I thought I heard...
Mr. Wumple, I didn't say a word.
I know you didn't.
You know too much. Stop knowing now before they begin.
You can't let the reporters in.
Gentlemen, before you enter, remember, no objection. Mr. Wumple has your answer. You see, he knows your question.
Don't know it, Willie. Don't even guess.
The reporter, gentlemen of the press.
The morning news.
The morning news.
Noonday news.
The nightly news.
The daily news.
The weekly news.
Mr. Wumple?
Yes.
What news?
Well,
Mr. Wumple, is it true MKO will hire you to build a mammoth studio?
My answer's no. I don't know. Not today.
Mr. Wumple, is it true MKO will hire you?
I have no news you can use. Go away.
Mr. Wumple, is it true?
There's nothing I can say to you.
That's it, Willie. That's what to do.
Is it Mr. Wumple?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Oh, yes, you do.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. That is... yes. It's true. Now get out.
Thank you.
I couldn't help it. I just knew.
But Mr. Wumple...
And you too.
But it's come.
What, the offer?
Just one little thing, Willie, and you'll break the spell.
Yes, we got the offer from MKO. Isn't it wonderful? I was so afraid when I heard you say yes to those reporters. Because, after all, the offer may not have come, and then where would we have been?
I told you that we'd get the bid, didn't I?
Willie?
Yes, Mr. Wumple, you did tell me, but suppose you was wrong.
I'm never wrong.
Willie?
I know, Mr. Wumple.
I know.
Willie, I'm through.
Wait.
Yes, sir?
We're not accepting the offer.
Not accepting?
You heard me.
Willie!
But, Mr. Wumple, you spent months drawing up those plans. You staked everything on this. Why, the contracts are signed with the builders, and MKO will hold you on the completion bond. They'll sue you. You've got to think of that.
Think of all the fun you'll get kicking over the traces.
You built up the firm alone.
You can build another.
And you'll go bankrupt.
What if you do?
Then, Mr. Wumple, you got to think of all the people you employ. Think what you'll do to them.
We're not signing.
Oh, no, Willie. You'll have to sign. I'm afraid you aren't more important than all those people. That's the catch.
But you...
I'm afraid you've tried too late, Willie. Much too late.
Chapter of Jenny Ray.
ladies and gentlemen, hello. This is Sam Glump broadcasting to you from the speaker's platform in front of the terrific new MKO studio in Hollywood, which has been designed by William Wumple, the architect. I wish you could see it, folks. I wish you could see the crowds filing and filling the stands erected for this historic occasion. Everyone is here. Stars, stars. It's glamorous. It's glorious. It's stupendous. And it's a beautiful day out here in California, folks. A terrifically beautiful day. High up above us, the Hollywood Hills, like some backdrop of the Olympian gods, kiss the caressing blue California sky.
Coming to you through the courtesy of Choxie, it's good enough to eat, and don't you forget it.
Red-tiled roofs of Spanish bungalows and stretching out beyond the Pacific, rolling toward the horizon, broken only by the towering peaks of Catalina Island. For it is a clear day today, folks, as we gather to dedicate this new million-dollar mammoth super studio. All the MKO players have assembled here on the stand. And here's the queen of the screen herself, folks, that lovely auburn-haired darling, Daphne Frothingham. Miss Frothingham, won't you tell the radio audience what you think of the new studio Mr. Wumple has built for MKO?
Oh, really, the new studio is wonderful. My next picture is Love is the Nut. Next to my mother, I love Choxie.
Thank you, Miss Frothingham, for a grand performance. And now we're going to hear a few words from the famous Finnish beauty, the exotic red-haired hunk of flesh. Tell us, Miss Flesh, what do you think of the new studio?
It is wonderful. My next picture is Love is Love. Some of my best friends are Choxie.
Oh, thank you, Miss Flesh, for a grand performance. Folks, you've seen stars, but none so lovely as the sterling little henna-haired lady now stepping up to the microphone. Yes, folks, it's none other than Gloriana Glee. Miss Glee, would you describe MKO's beautiful new building to your millions of fans?
The new studio's wonderful. My next picture's wonderful. Choxie's wonderful. Wumple's wonderful. Boy, am I cocky!
Thank you, Miss Glee, for a grand performance. Trying to get through this tremendous crowd is that Titian-tinted trooper, DeLacy LaDuce. Won't you stand back to this? Please, stand back, please! Oh, DeLacy, won't you say just a few words about the new studio?
Calico and me want to thank all you hombres for your swell fan letters. My next picture is Love is Choxie.
Thank you, DeLacy, for a grand performance. A performance that'll be appreciated by the lovely lady with the lovely crimson locks now approaching. You all know her, folks. It's your favorite columnist, Elise Benbow.
Wonderful. My next column is wonderful. What I always say is, Choxie's each day, and Millicent never looks lovelier.
Oh, thank you, Elise, for a grand performance.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Glum. And now I'd like to introduce the grandest star of them all, the lovely carrot top, Anitra. Anitra, what do you think of the new studio?
Oh, thank you, Anitra, for a grand performance. I know you love too, Choxie. Ladies and gentlemen, at this point, it gives me great pleasure to turn the proceedings over to the man responsible for this occasion, the genius who inspired it, the lovely Titian, president of MKO himself.
I thank you, thank you. I'm proud to be president of MKO.
Yes-a-ree.
I am still prouder to be the president who contracted the great architect, William Wumple, to design this new super significant studio. And it's a four-star job if I ever saw one.
Yes-a-ree.
And what is more, my friends, I am prouder still to be the author of M.K. Ho's wonderful theme song, which our chorus of 150 voices, 150, will now sing.
MKO, you are so free and proud in Hollywood. Every star is just a dream, and you pay them full. For your hits, you start to hit, and never. Thank you.
I hope your speech goes well.
Never mind about the speech. Have you reserved the suite in the hospital?
Yes, sir.
Did you arrange for the ambulance?
Yes, sir.
And the crutches?
Yes, sir, but I don't see why you bandage your foot up now.
Because when they lower that cornerstone up there, I'm going to be hit, and I don't want my foot to be badly hurt.
Well, with that bandage, you can hardly walk now.
Without it, I might not walk at all later.
I suppose you know best, Mr. Wumpole.
Oh, I wish I didn't.
Hey, what a theme song. And now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce that distinguished architect making his only personal appearance this season positively, Mr. William Pimple.
Mr. President.
Eh? What goes on?
What's that? Who's it?
Oh, yeah. Mr. William Wumpole in poison. Take a bow.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. When that gold-plated cornerstone suspended above you was lowered onto this very spot where I now stand, the greatest studio in the world will be completed. I know that from this very studio will emanate the finest films MKO has ever produced. I also know nobody likes the speech, and so I shall only say thank you again and lower away.
MKO, you are so brilliant, up in Hollywood. And you are just a
dream,
and you pay them.
You'll be hit!
There, Willie. You'll be all right.
Well, is this the suite that I reserved?
Yes, darling, it is.
Polly. Yes. Polly, what are you... What? You come back.
Someone had to look after you.
How's my foot?
Don't you know?
Well, it feels all right.
It is all right. But how is your head?
My head?
Yes, darling, your head, where the cornerstone landed.
You mean...
I mean that idiotic bandage on your foot kept you from getting out of the way when the cable broke.
But I thought... Well, I was sure... Oh, no. Polly, you're fooling. I know my...
What you get for trying to sit up. Now, be careful.
But, Polly, I didn't know that my head would get hurt.
You didn't know?
No.
Willie, do you know what you just said?
Polly!
Yes, Willie.
Polly, but... Oh, I didn't know. I don't know what's going to happen anymore. I don't know, I tell you. I don't even know whether you've come back to stay.
Don't you?
I don't even know whether you love me. Polly, tell me, do you love me?
Don't you know?
No, I don't. I don't know, Polly. No. Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, it's marvelous. I don't know if you love me.
Mr. Wumpole, please. No excitement.
Oh, it's really my fault, nurse.
Well, I suppose we can forgive you this time. If Mr. Wumpole eats his supper like a good boy. Are you ready for a nice big supper, Mr. Wumpole?
Oh, I suppose it's chicken broth and custard.
Oh, Mr. Wumpole, you just know everything.
What?
You have just heard the Columbia Workshop presentation of Now Playing Tomorrow, an original radio comedy written by Arthur Lawrence. Mr. Lawrence is a student in the course in radio writing at the Division of General Education at New York University, which is taught by William N. Robeson, who directed tonight's broadcast. The orchestra was conducted by Bernard Herrmann. Arlene Francis played the role of Polly and Carl Swenson, Willie. I Married an Angel is from the show of the same name. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.